It's good to see so many people out this morning to spend time worshiping God, to spend time edifying one another, and to spend time learning from the Word of God. What kind of characteristics does a Christian have? What kind of responsibilities does a Christian have? We've looked at that quite a bit. So hopefully, you're all taking those things and applying them to your life, considering it. But perhaps some of you aren't thinking that. And certainly, if you go out and you're talking to someone at your work, someone at your school, someone out in the world about being a Christian, eventually you're going to find someone who says, "So what?" Find someone, "Who cares? Why does it matter to me? Why should I care?" And that's the attitude of so much of the world. Who cares? Why does it matter to me? And in a word, it's because of sin. The modern idea, the modern thinking, modern thought, they say, well, there's no such thing as sin. It's not sin. It's just something that's alternative. Or, you know, that's not sin. That's just something that offends you. But there's no sin. It's just something that's different. But there is such a thing as sin. The word sin is used 447 times in the Bible in 338 different verses. Sin is something that the Bible talks a great deal about. And in fact, if there is no sin, if there is no such thing as sin, then the Bible wouldn't matter. And the whole point of the Bible would just be moot. So, we want to ask this morning, we want to look at, what is sin? What is sin? The first and the most terrible thing that sin is a spiritual death. Romans 5:12 speaks of it as the death that spreads to all men. It speaks of that in a spiritual sense. And then 1 Corinthians 15 speaks of it in a physical sense. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 20. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who were asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. Sin is the cause of our death, both our spiritual death and our physical death. And sin is the cause of many of our problems in the world today, whether directly or indirectly. Because of sin that people commit. When I was a younger man, I would go to my great-grandparents' house and stay with them sometimes. And they lived in a pretty, it was an old neighborhood in the edge of town. It was a nice house. But they lived right next to a railroad track. And so you go, and you get in bed, and you're sleeping. You know, your grandmother's bed, it's a pretty comfortable bed. So you're asleep, and it's all nice. And then all of a sudden you wake up, and there's this rumbling, and the windows are shaking, and then you hear the train horn, and it's so loud because it's not, even where I live now, it's maybe a block or so away from the railroad track. Their house was just a few dozen feet from the railroad track. So you're laying there at night, you're just asleep, maybe having a nice dream, and all of a sudden you feel like your whole world is just shaking. And you say, okay, and then you try to get back to sleep, and you do eventually. And then maybe an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours later, the same thing happens. The windows are shaking, the horn is blowing. And so the next night you go to bed, and You only hear the train come by once. You only get woken up by the train once. So then maybe the next night or the next night after that, you think that the train, it hasn't come by at all. And then after a week or so, you notice that, well, that train hasn't come by at night in quite a while. But then you get to thinking, you think, huh. And you realize that the train has still been coming by, but you've just gotten used to it. You've just been dulled to it. It's just become something that doesn't even faze you anymore when you're trying to sleep at night. And that's just how sin becomes in our lives if we let it. Because that's what the devil wants sin to become, is something that doesn't bother us, that doesn't faze us, that doesn't wake us up at night. Sin has been sugar-coated for so long. Think about what Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 5. Or that God says through Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Once you sugarcoat sin, once you make it acceptable, once you make it palatable, once you make sin edible, once you get used to it, then eventually you can go so far as to say the things that are sin, the things that are bad are good, the things that are good are bad, just like we see happening in our world today. Just like we see in this world, if we even step foot on our door, if we look on the television, look at the news, we see that happening over and over and over again. But we can't make excuses for sin. We must not do that. Because sin is a problem. Sin is not just a problem. Sin is the problem. Sin is everywhere. And sin affects everyone. There's no technology that can destroy it. You can't download an anti-sin app and run it on your computer, run it on your phone, and have that fix things. There's no sort of modern medicine that can cure it. All the radiation, all the chemotherapy, all the robotic surgeries, none of that can fix sin. There's no human feat that can hinder it. No sort of marathon, no sort of mountain climbing. Nothing that a human can do can stop it. There's no military that can stop it. Not even the full force of the United States, Army, Navy, Air Force. None of that can stop sin, because that's not the kind of problem that sin is. Sin is a problem of our heart and of our mind. Sin is a spiritual problem. We've already mentioned that sin causes death, physical and spiritual. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 talks about the wages of sin is death. That's what comes from sin ultimately, is death. That's what you get for it. Consider what James chapter 1 says. James 1 beginning in verse 14. James 1 beginning in verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Sin is something that grows in our lives. It grows up. It wants to come and give birth to death. Just like weeds in your garden, just like if you're a farmer, if you're a gardener, you can't just put something out there and then, if you don't watch it, if you don't take care of it, weeds will grow all up in that and ruin it. It's something you have to be vigilant about, taking care, and not let it grow up. And what's terrible about sin is not only does it try to grow in your life and grow and take over your life, that seeks to spread and grow and spread to other people and other people's life, because it's not just satisfied just with you, just with some other person. But Satan, in sin, wants to have everyone's life. It seeks to spread from person to person. Think about in Matthew 16, when Jesus talks about the false teaching of the Pharisees. Matthew 16, beginning in verse 6. Matthew 16, verse 6. And Jesus said to them, "Watch out, and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." They began to discuss this among themselves, saying, "He did this, or he said this, because we did not bring any bread." But Jesus, aware of this, said, "You men of little faith, why do you discuss among yourselves that you have no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000s? The 5,000 and how many baskets you picked up? Or the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets full you picked up? How is it that you do not understand that I do not speak to you concerning bread? But beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they understood that he did not say to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Sin, false teaching specifically here, but sin, it seeks to spread from person to person, to grow, to move from one person to the next. Just like in, if you go to some sort of denominational church, listen to popular preachers in the world, their false teaching, it's spreading sin. And oftentimes it spreads quickly, it spreads fast. It goes from person to person. Now think about what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15:33. "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." A lot of the times, you hear someone say, "Well, I'm just going to spend some time with this person and maybe my good influence will rub off on them." And there's something to be said for that, something to say for being a good influence on people. But so often, more often than not, you see what happens is, good people will be influenced by bad people to do the wrong thing. So often, I know that you've seen it, and I know that I've seen it, you see people who are good people, who are trying to be godly people, but then they maybe start hanging out with a person that's not a Christian, start hanging out with a person who doesn't always do things they should. What they think, they rationalize it and say, "Well, I just want to be a good influence on them." And we do want to be a good influence on those people. But you have to be very careful and very cautious and very thoughtful in how you do that. And you can't just go wholeheartedly full cell just spending our time with them. Because bad things will rub off on you. So we've kind of taken an idea, looked at what sin is, the death of sin, how it seeks to spread, how it's like a parasite, it's like a disease that wants to go through humans. And say, well, okay. So, we've talked about what sin does, it's death. But how do we know what sin is? Sin is not something that is judged by human standards. It's not something that I can say, that Leonard can say, or that anyone else can say, by their own judgment and their own rules, this is sin. Sin is not something judged and set down by human standards, but it's something that is set down and defined by the standards that God gives us in the Bible. So let's just look at a few of the different words, a few of the different terms that the Bible uses for sin. What is sin? And so there's a few different words, actually a lot of terms used in the Bible for sin. And the first one is, obviously, sin. This is probably the one that you've heard the most, where See, to sin, it's the idea of missing a target. It's the most common term in the Bible used for sin, both in Hebrew and in Greek. The idea is shooting for a target, but not hitting it. To aim at something and miss. Another term used is iniquity. And that carries the idea of a distortion, or something that is bent. Think about, and this isn't a perfect analogy, don't take it too far, but think about if you're driving a car and it hydroplanes or you lose control or whatever, something happens and you wreck that car and it's all bent up. Or maybe say you were driving somewhere and you were in a yield lane and someone rear-ends you and your car gets all bent up. And then the insurance company says, well, this car is totaled. It's been up. It can't do its job. This car can't fulfill its purpose of driving because it's so bent up. Something that's distorted, something that's bent up, something that's twisted out of shape and can no longer do what it's supposed to do. And then there's the idea of transgression. That's the idea of to go over something, to go against something. A lot of times it's used in the idea of going against a law, going against a rule. Then also used is the word wickedness. And oftentimes, especially a lot in the Old Testament, but also the New Testament, we see that a lot of times, not necessarily always, but used in the idea of habitual sin, of people or nations that do evil, that do sin over and over and over again, that it's not just something that happens once, but it's something that they make a habit of doing. And then ungodliness. That's the idea of a lack or want of reverence towards God, a lack of respect. There's unrighteousness, which is pretty straightforwardly the idea of something that is not right. And then finally, there's the idea of lawlessness. Lawlessness or something that is not lawful, something that goes against the law. I want you to think especially about the idea of lawlessness. Because we have many laws. We have city laws, I guess maybe county laws, state laws, federal laws. We have international laws. Different speed limits, taxes. Just about everything you could think of has some sort of law about it. But it's not our city laws. It's not our state laws. It's not our federal laws that define what sin is. The law that defines what sin is, the law that we go against when we sin, is God's law. God's law is what defines what sin is. And when we sin, God's law is the law that we break. Look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. That's the New American Standard. The Holman Christian Standard says, everyone who commits sin also breaks the law. Sin is the breaking of the law. And we could spend a lot of time going through the Bible and looking, considering the law of God, and even considering maybe the Mosaic law versus the law of Christ. We could spend a lot of time on that. Could spend a whole lot of time on that. But we won't do that right now. But we want to understand that there is a law. It's not something that we just decide in our heart, well, this is a sin, or this isn't a sin, or you know, I just feel like this is something that it's okay for me to do. We have to understand that there are standards that we must hold to. So we've looked at sin does, what it is, death, and we've looked at some terms that the Bible uses for sin and how sin is defined. Sin is defined by God. And so we say, well, okay, so that's what sin is and what it does, how it's defined. But God hasn't just simply defined sin for us told us this is sin, and then left us to it. So thankful that he hasn't. Because the world would be a hopeless place, a miserable place. It would be a terrible place if God had not given us, each of us, the sinner, a way back to him. Because that's what sin is. It creates a barrier, it creates a rift between us and between God. That's what a spiritual death is a separation from God, from our source of life. God's given us a way through Christ. We just took the Lord's Supper to remember that, to remember his death. He's given us a way through believing, obeying by being baptized, and continuing to live by his law. Think about Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. The idea of reconciliation is the idea of being brought back together, being put back together. What sin takes apart, God has given us a way to put back together. And the death that sin brings, God has given us a way back to life. Finally, consider what's written in Colossians 1. Colossians 1, beginning in verse 19. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, that is Christ, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless, beyond reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Sin gives death, but God has given a way back to life. Sin gives punishment, wrongness, and chaos. But since we can look and see that sin is defined by God's law, we're freed from that chaos of moral relativism and trying to see, well, this is okay for me and that's okay for you. We're freed from that. Because God has given us a way to be freed from the death of sin. And so he asks, so what is sin? Sin, I think the most succinct definition is sin is the choice of self in preference to God. Sin is choosing to do what I want to do over what God wants me to do. So we have to ask ourselves, today and tomorrow and every day, we have to ask ourselves, what have I chosen to do What am I going to choose to do? Whether we're Christians or not, we have to ask that. We must. Will you choose sin? Will you choose death? Will you choose to obey God and choose life? In just a second, we'll stand and sing an invitation song. And I would like you to think about, what have you chosen, and what will you choose?